right there. Getting to be in the house of God tonight. I'm thankful, as Brother Derek said, there's, besides if you not even pay attention to the bars, that the people's gathering in the bars tonight to watch the Super Bowl, but the sad thing is there's folks filling sanctuaries up and watching them right in the churches. I leaned back to Sister Teresa when Brother Derek was spitting out those facts and said a lot of those viewers were inside churches watching the Super Bowl and in the sanctuaries and Super Bowl parties tonight, and that's a sad thing. But a little something, Brother Derek was talking about the gift, and this is not what I'm preaching on, but I heard a preacher say one time, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He said wages have to be earned. A gift is freely given. So you basically have to work to sin. He said, well, one day sin is going to collect its wages, and it's not going to be good when payday comes. But the gift of God is freely given. We just have to humble ourselves, submit ourselves to Christ, and that gift is just freely given for us to receive. I'm thankful for that tonight. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad tonight for that gift of salvation. Amen. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. I'm going to try to deliver this like I feel it. Any preacher knows that's a task, you know, because you feel it inside of you, man. This will preach, and you get to certain points, you're like, man, they should be shouting by now. But I'm going to try to deliver this like I have it in my mind. I've got a simple thought tonight. Just need the Lord to meet us here. I believe He's already here. And that's in the song service talking about love lifting me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore. I don't know about you, but that day when I was in sin before I ever got in church, I was long from a safe shore. The times I thought that I was okay, and the times I thought that I was doing just fine. But little did I know. Well, I knew because I was raised in a church, but the folks out there that ain't never been raised in church, little do they know they're far from a peaceful shore as they could ever be when they're living in that world. So we have a job to bring the gospel to them. Tonight, 1 Samuel verse 17, I'm going to apologize and sorry, not sorry type, because we're going to have a lot of reading to do. Just scripture, we're going to break it down a little bit. Starting at verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presenting himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000. And look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For the Israelites and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. Verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel as he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him with him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And we'll skip on down to verse 41, and we'll read 10 more verses, and believe the Lord to meet us here. And the Philistine came on, and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And Philistine said, have you ever noticed that the gods of other religion just thought that they would curse you, but the God of all religion is welcoming you in?
Like if you believe another religion, he's going to say, come unto me, I'll show you truth. Come unto me, all you heavy laden, now I'll give you rest. But the gods of others, if you don't believe like them, they curse you and they don't want nothing to do with you unless you believe like them. You ever notice that? Just a little side note there for you tonight. Lost my place, how about that? And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47 says, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slain it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. I know it was quite a bit of reading, but I just wanted to just lay the foundation of the story tonight. But with the Lord's help, I want to deliver the thought of 40 days in the making. 40 days in the making. I'll ask our pastor to stand and pray over the preaching of God's word tonight.
Entering into the preaching of God's Word. We thank you for the Word of God and how, Lord, you have given us this great revelation through Scripture. So much truth, God, that you have chosen the foolishness of preaching. But we know, Lord, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Lord, we ask you tonight, Lord, to anoint Brother Adam, God. Let this message, Lord, find a place in our hearts and just do a work in our lives tonight. Lord, in Jesus' name, let it be done. And let the altar call be a product of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
I don't know about you, but there are times when we go to work and we have these long days and these long hours, and you're out there, Brother Shane, and those that work at the shipyard, it seems like, I know you have those days that seem like they're never going to end, and it just goes on and on, and you're like, man, I wish 5 o'clock would hurry up and get here. You know, those days seem to go on and on, but I'm telling you tonight, I want to touch on this subject of the fact of how long that the army of Israel waited. The 40 days, the Scripture says that he came and challenged them 40 days and 40 nights, morning and evening, and I got to thinking, That how in the world can the army that was supposed to be of God's sit there and take that from the enemy when they knew that they had God on their side despite the leadership had fallen, that the army of God could have stood up and made a stand and say, I'm not going to stand and listen for this. I don't know why they withstood that for that long, but 40 days is a long time, but 40 days is long enough, I'm telling you. And I love the fact that David, he was going there to serve and going there to deliver stuff to his brother. And one preacher said that he was going there to fight Goliath and didn't even know he was going to fight Goliath. But I'm telling you tonight, we all have had those days that it seems like it just never ends. And I'm pretty sure that this army of Israel was standing there and think, will he just ever go away? Will he just ever just stop doing this and stop doing that? I'm getting sick and tired of hearing his voice morning, and I'm getting sick and tired of hearing it in the evening. But I'm telling you tonight, I don't know how long he planned on doing it, but the Bible never says that what day he was planning on quitting, but he was there. It had been 40 days and 40 nights, and I'm telling you, the enemy don't know how to give up. And if it's going to take morning and night to try to get you to fall, if it's going to take morning and night to try to get you to give way, that you're your stronghold, he's going to come morning and night, whether it be 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 days. But what stuck out to me is that the army of Israel, that was supposed to be a strong army of God, was sitting there for 40 days taking that stuff, taking it, and they were going to just sit there letting that man talk about their God and doing like that.
that. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just don't like people talking about me. And in the younger days, you would think, look, man, just be quiet. Just hush your mouth. I don't like you talking to me like that. I don't like you talking about me like that. But I wish to God, I would be the God that they would have stood up and made a stand. But they didn't, and they had to take a 12-year-old ruddy little lad to make a stand for what they should have done. I don't know about you, but if I was getting in a fight and somebody little would come up to me and was still between me and the guy that was trying to fight me and fought him for me and came out victorious, I wouldn't feel much like a man. I don't know about you. But the enemy of Goliath, he came and he tormented the people for 40 days nonstop. He would mock and he would belittle them, and he made them feel like a lesser army. How about God, the devil, coming to us tonight and making fun of our God? How many times has he made fun of the God of Israel, saying that God couldn't bring you through this, and God couldn't bring you through that? Just like Goliath coming to you day and night, saying this battle that you're going through, there's no way that you're going to come out on top. There's no way that you're going to come out on top of this battle, that you're going to fall, and I'm going to overtake you, and I'm giving you something that you ain't never felt before. He comes and he mocks and he belittles God, and he says Jesus and God, he's never as big as he says he is, and this battle he cannot deliver you from day in, day out, to this battle that you're facing. I don't know what it is, and I don't know who you're preaching to, but I'm telling you tonight, the enemy will not stop. He will continue to do this, and he will continue to rock your mind. He will continue to rock your brain. But I'm telling you, no matter how big it seems, and no matter how big the battle seems, and no matter how big that the battle is, funny, it seems like you can't go through it. We serve a God that is faithful and is true, and that He will be with us, and He will help us, and He will just guide us through this battle. The Bible called Him a champion, but no doubt He had many victories. They called Muhammad Ali a champion. He had many victories because he fought the fights. He won. They called Him a champion. So just for the fact of that, tell me Goliath has been in some battles before. And tells me that he's come out victorious before. So you guess you could say that he got kind of, felt like he was unbeatable. But little did he know, he's never come up against anybody like the army of God. They called him a champion. Goliath, the champion. When we hear champion, we think a man that's conquered, a man that's come through victorious, and that's what it is. He was a champion. And the army knowing that, the army of Israel, maybe have heard about his previous victories. I don't know. Somewhere in the Bible, show me. Maybe have been intimidated by his size. You can hear time and time again of people that have fallen by the wayside from the enemy fighting them, and think that the devil took that life, and that the devil took this life. He's got this one overtaken with drugs. He's got this one overtaken with pornography. He's got this marriage ripped apart from a husband or wife being unfaithful. And you look left and you look right, and it seems like the devil has got victory after victory after victory in some folks' lives. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God is a ruler over him, that no matter how big the devil may seem, no matter how many victories he has against the people of this world, I'm telling you, there's a God that has never lost a battle, that is never. We are part of an army that will never lose. I'm telling you, though it may seem dim and seem dark, we serve in an army that will never lose, will never know the sense of defeat. And if we could just get that in our heads tonight and realize that we can overtake anything, no matter the size of the battle, no matter the size of the enemy, no matter how many victories and lives he has taken already, that we serve a God that is bigger than anything we come against, that we serve a God that can overtake anything. Brother James was talking tonight about the grace of God will not lead you. The will of God will not lead you, where the grace of God will not keep you. He loved that saying, and I like it too. God is not going to lead you anywhere and then leave you sit where He leads you. But no, when He leads you somewhere, He's looking, saying, come on, I'm leading the way. Just get behind me. I'll clear the way. Let's fight together. That's what we need to do. No matter how big it looks, no matter how big the battle looks, maybe they'd be intimidated by His size. I don't know about you, but if I've seen a man 9 foot tall, I'm going to be intimidated by his size, especially if he's big and muscular.
Maybe they've seen his weapons and been scared of them too. Maybe you had never thought of this part. But the man carrying Goliath's shield and his spear wasn't going to be no small guy either. And it had that thing in a cart. So if Goliath was this tall and he had somebody toting his weapons, those guys were big too. But this is what happened. David hadn't been there, to my knowledge. Correct me if I'm wrong after church. Any of those 40 days and 40 nights. As far as we know, all it took was one time for David to hear the enemy defying the God of Israel. One time. He said, I've had enough. Basically, I'm going to paraphrase here. He said, how in the world can you sit here and you listen to that devil, sit here and defy the army of Israel, and sit here and belittle God like he has done, and sit here and take it? I'm going to ask you tonight, and I'm going to put this army, and I'm going to put us in the army of Israel. How long are we going to sit here and take the enemy, belittling the church in the form of the world? How long are we going to stand still and let the devil do his work in this world? How long are we going to sit here and watch people go to hell every day? How long are we going to take it? When are we going to stand up and say, I've had enough of this enemy. I've had enough of his mouth. And I want to stand up and I want to make a difference tonight. You're going to stand with me. How many folks want to stand? I'm sick and tired of the enemy rearing his ugly head up. I'm sick and tired of him running his mouth. But I'm telling you tonight, if we were to stand up, no telling what could happen. David wasn't intimidated by the size of that enemy. I got a nephew I feel pretty intimidated by. Man, 17 years old, 6'4", 280 pounds. I feel pretty intimidated by him. Uncle could take him back in the day, but it ain't happening much now. But if you take somebody like that, somebody like Little Jax, he's not here tonight, and put him up there, it's going to look pretty uneven. It's going to look pretty uneven. And that's the comparison. You pick somebody 6'8" and somebody 2'5". But David didn't care. All David knew is he was talking about his God, and he was defying the army. And David wasn't going to take it. Goliath said, are you? What am I, dog, that you come to me with a stick? He said, I'll tell you what you are. You're nothing. He said, because I've been in the field watching my father's sheep, and a bear and a lion have come out the woods, and I'm paraphrasing, and I go to take up the lamb, and I go and see him and remove that lamb from his mouth. He said, I took my sling, and I took care of them. But this is what I like about David. He stood up and said, this day, he made that declaration that this day you will be as one of them. So you will not come in and defy the army of Israel and defy my God and get away with it, buddy. But this day, you will be as one of those, that dead lion and that dead bear. This day, when are we going to stand up and say, this day, it's going to happen no more. This day, at Abundant Life Tabernacle, we're not going to let the enemy rule no more. But I'm telling you tonight, if we stand up and make this declaration and say 40 days is long enough, 40 days of the enemy to rule in the world like he's done is long enough, and he's ruled longer than that, but I'm telling you, 40 days is way too long. And they had a little boy that was coming, 40 days in the making. He said, I've had enough. How much longer will we tolerate the enemy shouting and screaming? Or will we say 40 days is far too long? How long? Say you worked out here. Somebody come out here. You was at church, Brother Derek. And you had a man, big man. And today we got police. I believe in 911. Just with me for a second. Just kind of think of this. A big man come out here every morning. You got out of church, knew what time you had, and just stood out there at the road and cursed God, cursed you, and cursed the church 40 days and 40 nights. It would get on your nerves about after the first day for me. But you got to think. Imagine putting up 40 days of that. And this is what stuck out to me. And I talked to Brother Shane with it before. And I said, I read back through the scripture. And I was flipping through. And I got to thinking. The 40 days that they withstood that enemy. It never said they prayed. Never said they went behind the rocks and prayed to God to send them a Savior. You know what it said? They ran. They fled. And they hid. What kind of army does that when the enemy comes? A good army, no matter the size. You take those old armies like General Robert E. Lee when he led. Them guys didn't know the word retreat. What kind of army? Will be one that would run and hide every time and that big enemy would come out. They never once prayed during those 40 days. They ran, hid, and fled. But I'm going to take you to a different 40 days and just preach about this a little bit tonight. And this is going to be in my closing. It's going to be maybe a long closing. Matthew 4:1-11. It said, then Jesus was led up in spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee with the hands, they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is also written, I said also, I'll put that in there, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8 says, and again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. But then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall I serve. And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The difference of these 40 days that the Israel army went to, they fled, they hid, and they ran scared. But if you notice that the 40 days that Jesus has spent in the wilderness, he spent fasting, and he spent praying, and he spent talking to his Father that prepared him for the battle to come. And I'll tell you, say he was tempted on all points as we were tempted. So he went through a lot of stuff. I'm telling you tonight, there's a difference in the 40 days we can face and facing that battle. If we face it with fasting and praying, we need to stay fasted up. We need to stay prayed up. And I'm telling you, if we do that, those 40 days will seem a whole lot different, because every time the devil throws something, Jesus come right back and said, it is also written. And I'm telling you tonight, when the devil says that you can't make it, if we're staying prayed up and we're staying fasted up, we can say, well, I want to take you back to a time when I was going through a battle, but God was faithful to me, and he delivered me out of that trial and out of that test. I'm telling you tonight, if we make a stand tonight, fasted up, prayed up, ready to go, we can conquer anything. 40 days of fasting, 40 days of praying, all while facing his temptation. 40 days in the making. Jesus was baptized. He spent 40 days in the wilderness and started his ministry. 40 days in the making, Goliath defied the armies of Israel. I don't know how long they would have withstood it, but there was come God knew 40 days. In 40 days, I'm going to send to you a little 12-year-old boy. And he's going to deliver you. 40 days in the making. If I could tell you one thing, I don't know how long the enemy's going to fight. I don't know how long he's going to fight until the Lord comes. He's not going to give up. Fast. Pray. Read that Bible. If the devil comes to you with Bible, and you ain't been reading your Bible, you may think, well, you know what? He's telling me the truth. You went, wow, man, that does sound good. I mean, that, you know, he has got a point there. But Jesus said, it is also written, or it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt worship the Lord, only the Lord God, thy God. Thou shalt not live by bread alone. Just like Goliath, Satan was talking to God here saying, say this and you'll get this. Do this and you'll receive that. And the enemy's there whispering. Sometimes he's hollering, screaming. That's where that fasting and praying in, because you can have that spirit of discernment. And you say, well, no, Scripture don't say it like that. We said it in Sunday school this morning. If an angel comes to you preaching anything but the gospel, anything but the Bible, I don't care who it is. But each time Jesus fought him with what? The Word. Wasn't a physical battle. He just said, it is written. Instead of 40 days of enduring and tolerating the battle, instead of spending 40 days in fear, let's endure the next trial and test with prayer and fasting. Stand to your feet as somebody comes to the piano. I'm telling you tonight, if I can leave y'all with this, how long? Ask yourself, how long are we going to stand here and let the enemy have rule out there? How long? 40 days is just an amount of time, but let's just say it's been 40 days in the making. It's time for the victor to come out. Time for the deliverer to come out. 40 days later, David come. 40 days within the wilderness, Jesus started the greatest ministry ever. The greatest preacher ever, but he never preached a funeral. The greatest ministry ever in that Bible. 40 days in the making. It was 40 days in the making. He baptized. Then he went and spent time away. Tempted as we were tempted. So he could say, when we face something, I know exactly what you're going through. I know exactly what you're facing. I know exactly how to get you out of this battle. No matter what we face, he's also made a way of escape. That way is Jesus Christ. Let us find us a place to pray tonight.